May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. A verse from the Gospel, Luke chapter 12, verse 20, God said to the rich man, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? You know, as I was thinking about this parable, this rich man who builds bigger and bigger and bigger barns in order to store all his stuff, as I was thinking about it, I came up with a new theory about the parables of Jesus. Here's my theory. Basically, I think that most, not all, but most of Jesus' parables can be divided into two categories. Category one is the parables which have what we might call happy endings. And category two are the parables which don't have happy endings. For example, in the happy ending category, we have the parable of the prodigal son. Yeah? The wayward waster son comes home with his tail between his legs and is welcomed back with open arms. They throw a party for him. Wonderful. A happy ending, at least for the prodigal son. Or likewise, in the parable of the good Samaritan, which we had a few weeks ago, in the parable of the good Samaritan, this poor man is lying dying at the side of the road. When along comes this Samaritan, picks him up, bandages his wounds, takes him away, looks after him. A happy ending. And I could go on. There's also the parable of the sheep that was lost, but then is found. Hurrah! Or the coin that was lost, but then was found. Hurrah again. There are many other examples. You get the point. But then in the other category, we have the parables of Jesus which don't end on such a jolly, happy, uplifting note. There is, for example, the story of Dives and Lazarus, the rich man and Lazarus. Do you remember this? There's a rich man who dines sumptuously, and at his gate is a poor man, Lazarus, and every day the rich man walks by Lazarus without even noticing him. Well, eventually they both die, and Lazarus ends up in heaven, and the rich man ends up in the other place. Or again, there's the parable of the unforgiving servant. Do you remember this one? This is about a servant who owes his king 10,000 talents. Huge sum of money, 10,000. But the king says, forget about it. I release you of the debt. But then the servant goes out, and there's this other man who owes him a tiny amount of money, 100 denarii. And the man refuses to forgive him. Well, when the king finds out, he's not very happy. And let's just say it doesn't end well for the unforgiving servant. And then, of course, there's today's parable, usually called the parable of the rich fool. The rich fool, a man who is so obsessed with storing up his wealth that he seems to forget everything else, including the basic fact that, as we say in Ireland, there are no pockets on a shroud. A shroud, you know what you're buried in? There are no pockets on a shroud. You cannot take it with you when you go. You fool, says God, tonight you will die, and whose will your money be then? So there you have it. Some parables of Jesus with happy endings, so to speak, and some parables which end in death and or eternal torment. And my new theory is this, perhaps you've noticed it, almost all the non-happy ending parables, the ones that end in death and or eternal torment, almost all of them are to do with money, greed, selfishness, mammon. It's as if, I think, Jesus is warning us that if there's one sin above all others which will kill you, If there's one sin above all others which will rob you of eternal life, which may even cut you off from God, that sin is greed. Because greed will turn you in on yourself, greed will turn you away from other people, and greed, if you're not careful, will end in your death, your spiritual death. Cheery, yeah? So what's to be done? What's to be done? Well, interestingly enough, death, as in fact today's parable reminds us, the awareness of death, the awareness of our own death one day, that might be a good place to start with turning our lives around. After all, if there's one thing that concentrates our minds on what's truly important, then it's mortality, isn't it? The awareness of our own mortality. If there's one thing which puts everything else in perspective, including putting material possessions in perspective, then surely that's the awareness that one day all of this will end. In fact, you know, I'm reminded of a very beautiful and famous and best-selling book which came out a few years ago. You may have read it. It was called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. Do you remember this? The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. It was written by an Australian nurse, palliative care nurse, who had worked for many years in hospices with the dying. And she found that again and again they had the same regrets. They had the same regrets about their lives. And here's the point. None of the regrets, not a single one, was about wanting more money. None of them wished they had built bigger barns for all their stuff. Yeah. So what were the top 5 regrets of the dying? Do you want to hear what they are? Shall I tell you? Number one, the most popular one was, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself and not what other people wanted me to do. Number two, I wish I hadn't worked so much. Bronnie says, the author says, every single male patient had this regret. Take note, gentlemen. Number three, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. Number four, I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. Number five, I wish I'd let myself be happier. It's such an interesting list, isn't it? Notice, please, there's nothing about material possessions. Notice, too, that there's nothing either about all those things that the marketing industry and the advertising industry tell us should be on our bucket lists. Yeah? Travel to exotic locations, expensive experiences, none of that. Just the ordinary, basic, priceless human needs. Courage, honesty, authenticity, friendship, relationship, connection with our deepest selves, connection with other people. So let me share with you another theory I came up with as I was thinking about this parable. Here's another theory. As you read this story, this parable, about how the rich man spent the night before he died, I think we should keep in mind how another man, Jesus, spent the night before he died. Because the contrast between the two could hardly be greater and tells us all we need to know. For example, on the night before he died, the rich man's focus was on himself alone, my possessions, my barns, my plans for the future. Indeed, in our translation, if you add them up, he uses the word I or my 11 times in just 3 sentences. On the other hand, on the night before he died, Jesus' focus was, well, not on himself so much, but on his friends, sharing a Last Supper with his friends. encouraging his friends to continue to break bread together, promising his friends that he would be with them when they did. Or to give another example, on the night before he died, the rich man sat down and relaxed. I imagine him sitting on a comfortable seat, calling his servants to bring him food and drink. Well, on the night before he died, Jesus got up from his seat, tied a towel around himself, became a servant, and washed his disciples' feet. And finally, on the night before he died, the rich man's thoughts were on gathering, hoarding, stockpiling his stuff for himself. Well, as you know, on the night before he died, Jesus' thoughts were on giving away his life, sharing his life, sharing his body and blood, giving his life away in love for us. And that is the choice. That's the choice. Turning in on ourselves or reaching out to others, hoarding or sharing, holding on to our stuff for dear life or giving it away in love. You see, as the rich man discovered too late, and as Bronnie's hospice patients wished they had realized sooner, some things in life matter, some things last, and some things don't. May God give us the grace to appreciate the difference. In Jesus' name, amen.